this guy, the tow truck driver, was like, he was a character, let me tell you. He didn't call himself Steve. He referred to himself as Tow Truck Steve. Hello, this is Adam, and you are listening to the Subian U podcast, episode number 153. You can find me on Instagram at Transformer Trek.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and whatever it is that you may be celebrating this holiday season. Welcome to another episode 153 with Adam and Tow Truck Steve, which we will hear that story when we get into this episode. That was that definitely gave me a laugh and a good chuckle. So we'll hear about Tow Truck Steve and Adam's Transformer theme trek here in just a bit. But I hope everybody is having a great holiday season, and I hope you all have a happy New Year. Yes, there will be another episode on New Year's Day as well. So we're going to be going into 2024. That seems crazy, but it's here. There's no denying it. It's here. So if you ask for something for Christmas, what do you ask for? Do you ask for something for yourself or for your Subaru? And then if you're buying something for yourself, do you buy something for you or for your Subaru? That's a curious question, because I know we are all really passionate about our Subarus, and we're always on the hunt for something new, aren't we? Well, I know a place that has some really great things for your Subaru.
The Subian U podcast is brought to you by Eccentric Designs. For those of you who don't know, Eccentric Designs is a small, community-driven business that offers custom-fit vinyl overlays for most Subaru models. This includes various designs for the rear reflectors, taillights, and side taillights. I also offer fun decal designs like the popular fender stripes and stickers. To find designs for your Subi, head on over to eccentricdesigns.com. There's always more projects in the works, so be sure to follow at eccentric.designs on Instagram.
Thank you so much, Eccentric Designs, for sponsoring the Subi and You podcast. I have another patron question of the week, and this one comes from Will, who goes by Subaru.guy.11, and he asks, what is a childhood memory you have growing up around the holidays? When I first read that, I was thinking about it, and I was trying to remember, specifically around the holidays, like, what memory do I have? And when I read it again tonight to do this patron question of the week, it hit me all of a sudden. When I was younger, I'm thinking like maybe between the ages of like, I don't know, 8 to 12 or something like that, my grandparents would always have family over for the holidays, for Christmas, and they would set up a big buffet line in their garage. They would set up a lot of tables, and there would be so much food out there. And so I just remember there being a lot of people there, a lot of family. And my grandparents had a really big fireplace. It was a wood-burning fireplace, and I absolutely loved it. So just like the atmosphere of family, food, the decorations for Christmas, and then the fireplace and the smell and the crackle of that, and being cold usually. And so just, yeah, that was like a really good childhood memory. And I haven't thought about that in a while. So thank you, Will, for helping me to pull that back out and bring that really, really great memory up. So I hope you had a great holiday now as an adult. So Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. Let's get into some more of this stuff. Before you skate through the new year, be sure to put on this lace-up hooded hockey jersey. This blue and white jersey features the Subaru logo right in the front and features laces on the front to cinch up the hood to keep the wind off your ears and neck. Head over to SubaruGear.com and order a hockey jersey for yourself or for that Subaru and hockey fan in your life. Be sure to use the code SUBIANDU23 for 20% off your purchase. Whenever you put all of your items in your basket, if the total of your purchases is over $50 after the discount, you automatically get free shipping. Also, when we start off in 2024, the discount code will be SUBIANDU24 for 2024. So moving forward, starting next week, that'll be the new discount code. Thank you so much, Subaru Gear, for sponsoring the Subi and You podcast. And thank you for extending this great offer to the fans of this podcast and the fans of Subaru and Subaru Gear. You may have seen in my stories the past several days and maybe the past, like, I guess about week or so. And you may have just seen it posted on Instagram that Ryka Wheels was having some giveaways. They had 6 days of giveaways and then 6 days of their sale, which was 20% off plus free shipping. If you happen to miss that, you can still get a pretty good discount if you use the code SUBIU10 to get 10% off a set of wheels or a lift kit. Not only does Ryka have good discounts, but they also are committed to providing you with the highest quality specialized wheels and lift kits that will allow you to travel further, experience new adventures, and discover all of those extraordinary destinations. Ryka wants to make sure that you are ready for anything wherever your adventure takes you. As always, the quest for adventure begins with you, and Ryka is what gets you there. Again, be sure to use the code SUBIU10 to get 10% off your set of wheels or lift kit. Thank you so much, Ryka Wheels, for sponsoring the Subi and You podcast. For those of you that live in places where you have a white Christmas, I hope that you feel very blessed to experience that. Because here in the Houston area where I live, I think the high is going to be 58 today on Christmas, which is not bad. It's cool. But I want it to be cold. I want it to be close to freezing. I want it to feel like winter and feel like the holidays. I don't think that I have ever in my life experienced a white Christmas. So for those of you that do, I know that snow can be cumbersome and troublesome and a pain, especially when it starts to melt and it gets all slushy and muddy. I've seen that. I was in Charlotte one time when it snowed, and when we were leaving, it was melting. And yeah, it does get pretty gnarly and nasty. But for those of you that get to experience a white Christmas, you are very blessed, and I'm very envious. I hope that someday I can be somewhere on Christmas and experience a white Christmas. That would be really, really nice. So be sure to enjoy that and embrace it. And happy holidays, everyone. This episode is brought to you by Melee Design Firm, where they believe that quality parts should look great while adding functionality to your build. And now for select Rally Spec products, such as the Group 35 Rally Spec battery mount for the Crosstrek and other Subaru products, such as the front strut tower brace, engine bay caps, you can get 5% off by using the code SUBI plus U at checkout. So the little plus symbol is what you'll use. Head on over to MeleeDesignFirm.com and check out the Rally Spec and Subaru sections of the website. Thank you so much, Melee Design Firm, for sponsoring the Subi and You podcast. All right, and now we will get into this episode with Adam to hear about his Transformer-themed trek and a little bit about Tow Truck Steve. Here we go, everybody. All right. Hey, welcome, Adam. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Awesome to be here. It's nice to finally meet you and have a cool conversation with you.
Yeah. It's always fun to get somebody new on the podcast and help them share their story. And for the people that are following them to hear their voice, you know, maybe if they haven't heard them before, and just see how things are going.
Pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So I guess to kick things off, I'm just going to start doing this from now on. And so do you prefer waffles or pancakes?
Oh, the age-old question.
Yes.
This might be controversial, but I'm going to have to say pancakes, actually.
Okay, all right.
I feel like a lot of people in New Hampshire would disagree with me on that, and I might get criticized because, like, I feel like waffles are a much more popular one, but I'm going to have to go with pancakes. It's a classic. I know I got them stocked in my freezer. That's usually my go-to.
Yeah, pancakes are good. That's what I like too. I like them both, but pancakes just a little bit more. So
pancakes take the win.
Yeah. Good, good. Another pancake winner. I like it.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Glad we agree on that.
Yeah. So is this your first Subaru?
Yes, this is my first Subaru. I've only owned one other car before this when I was in high school. It was a Ford Escape, so it's kind of a brick on wheels. I used to call it the mystery machine because it was bright green.
Oh, and, nice.
other than that, no, this is my second and only car right now. And I never owned a Subaru before that, but I'm really glad that I lucked into the Subaru community through buying my car.
Did you know like anything about Subaru before you bought yours, or was it, and then, like, how did you end up getting into a Subaru, and then why a Crosstrek?
Yeah. So, I hate to say, but it's a pretty mundane story. I was graduating high school at the time back in 2020. So not too long ago, had my car about 4 years now. So I'm going to be, you know, graduating college now, but, back then, the car was a graduation gift. I mean, it was a gift that I was going to be paying for. So it was really here you go.
Gift to myself.
Here's a monthly subscription to drive.
Yeah.
But no, so the car was picked out for me as kind of a surprise. I didn't know we were going there that day. And my, like I said, the Ford was kind of, you know, crap in the bed before. So it was time for an upgrade. And my mom had found the car and was pretty interested by it and seemed that it matched my personality, I guess. And she thought it was cool to be a, you know, kind of my hiking car or my adventure car, and kind of have my own taste to represent on the car. And so she picked that out for me, and we went to go see it in person, like right after my graduation. And I was pretty psyched. I thought it was a really cool looking car. But at that point, I had no idea about the whole Subaru community or even off-road community, anything like that. I was just like, I have a car. It drives. It has four wheels. Like, this is great. I can go places now without having to worry. So I was really just excited to have a new car and go show it off to my friends. And I was pretty proud that, you know, I'm driving a Subaru now. This is an upgrade. So, yeah, I mean, I had no idea about the community really before I got into the car.
And did your mom buy, I guess, were you looking, man, let me get this straight. Were you looking for another car since you said your Ford was kind of crapping the bed? Like, was that on the radar of like, hey, I'm going to need to get a new car soon. And then, you know, she got the car for you. And then, like, did she know that Subarus are safe and that it was a better car? Like, what's the story behind that?
Yeah. So really, she just, like I said, she picked it out for me. So she had kind of been going to the dealership without me and was, and kind of noticed that car on for sale and decided that would be kind of a good choice for me, to upgrade from. She definitely knew about like Subarus. I don't know about quite reliability, but there was, you know, it's generally a reliable car, but, and then the safety and the good gas efficiency and everything like that. And that it was an SUV being in, New England, that's a big deal. Very important is that you have all wheel drive for the winters. So she kind of saw all of these features and was like, this is a good car for my son, picked it out, brought me there to go see it and said, here's the key. Get ready to start paying for it because it's yours. And so that's kind of how it happened. Like I said, the Ford was kind of the issue at the problem. So that was a trade-in, and switched it out and drove home the Crosstrek that day.
So what was it like driving it for the first time?
Oh my God. It was like, it felt like a cloud. Like my old car was such a clunker, like a lemon. So when I got into that, I was like, I'm in a sports car. This is awesome. Literally just anything that was slightly nicer with four wheels, I would have been excited about just to be able to have the freedom to drive and like take my friends around and, you know, go wherever. But, it was just really just nice to have an upgrade, and especially nice to have features like heated seats, Bluetooth. Oh, yeah. Like that was all new to me. Like I was so excited for that.
That's always nice.
But, I hadn't really thought about anything on the car, like in terms of a theme or a name or anything like that. I was just initially excited to have a working vehicle.
Yeah. So what year is it?
Yeah, it's a 2013. So it's the first gen. Obviously,
the OG.
It is the OG. That's right. It's the premium trim, I think, on the 2013 model year. So it's got the little star wheels. I like those. Something about the original Crosstrek just kind of timeless, I feel like.
Yeah,
I think a lot of the newer Subaru models have taken on this kind of more robotic I mean, pun intended, you know, robotic looking, but
yeah, coming from Transformer Trek.
That's right. Big fan. But yeah, I think there's something classic about the way it looks, just like the body lines. It's just cute. I don't know. Is that a weird thing to say?
No, I agree. I still see them. I mean, I love my second gen, but I still see, you know, the first gen Crosstrek cruising down the road. And there's just something about them, like the body style, the body shape and everything that, you know, they'll always like, I mean, not that they weren't available, but I wanted a brand new car. And I, you know, it was the second gen grew on me. You know, at first it was like, it was different, but I really, really like it now. But yeah, the first gens will always hold a special place in my heart because that's the first one I saw.
I used to always say, and I still do, that, actually this is the reason I hadn't changed out the headlights of the car yet, is because I always say that the first gen headlights look like their eyeballs. Like they, when I look in the headlights, I think like the car has a soul. Like you can see, it almost has like a smile with the grill. So it's very like... It's almost like an emoji when I look at the car. You know, it has like that smiley face on the front where the headlights look like an eye, the grill is kind of a bit of a smile. So I've never wanted to change that. I'm thinking about changing the grill in the future, but the headlights, I do want to keep those the way they are, just because I like to think, you know, my car has a soul and feel that connection between car and driver. You know.
Yeah. No, I can totally see that. Yeah. I mean, they look great. So, but when you got yours, I'm guessing you didn't really have any clue or idea that of like, hey, I'm going to start taking this off road. I'm guessing it was just a car to drive. Like you said, an upgrade from what you had that had four wheels and felt like driving around on a cloud. But I'm sure that like, hey, let's rough this cloud up a little bit and go off road.
Yeah. So I had no idea that there was like an off-road community with Subarus, specifically Crosstreks even. When I would think of off-road, typically I'd be like, oh, like Jeeps, right? Like Jeeps and like trucks, maybe like Baja and stuff like that. But then once I like started looking around on Instagram about like Crosstrek stuff, seeing what I could do with the car to make it kind of look more cool, or what kind of features I could add to it, or what I could do with it besides just driving. And then I discovered there's already this entire community of Crosstrek drivers who modify their car, take it off-roading on trails, doing all these things that previously were like unimaginable to me. When I think of a Subaru in concept, like I would just automatically assume that, you know, that's an activity for Jeeps only. But then I see all these cars doing it. I'm like, maybe I could do stuff like this too, because it looks really fun.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's kind of where that originally came from, was just looking around on Instagram at some Crosstrek stuff and seeing like probably even some of the people listening to this. Like when I originally looked at your car a few years ago, and even if it was in its earlier stages, like just seeing the simple things that everyone's been doing to their Crosstreks, I'm like, I'm getting some ideas from it. You know, it's giving me a little bit of inspiration to take my car and do my own unique design on it and just come up with something new.
Yeah. So your Instagram handle is Transformer Trek, but isn't the name of your car Jazz?
That's correct. You got that right. So a lot of people do mix that up, but I'll tell you the story behind that. My original name on Instagram was at Jazz the Adventure Trek. So it was a bit of a mouthful. It was a little long, trying to fit it with tags and, you know, hashtags, whatever, just tagging things, typing it in all the time. And with all the underscores between every word, it was kind of obnoxious. So I got to the point where I was like, all right, I need to shorten it. But I need it to still be like on topic. So I need people to know two things. You know, this is the Crosstrek and it's Transformer themed. So I made sure to just kind of combine those two things in the simplest form. And a lot of the Instagram names I had been seeing at the time were something dot Trek or something Trek or Trek something. So I kind of came up with my own variant of that and decided on Transformer dot Trek. But yeah, the car's name has been Jazz. I didn't want to copy Bumblebee because that's a future plan that I have, which is to get a Camaro someday, the original from the Transformers movie in 2007, which was the 2010 SS Camaro, yellow and black, of course.
Yeah.
So that's my dream. That's been my dream car ever since I was a kid. So Bumblebee will be someday. I wanted to do a different one of the Autobots. And, you know, the car is silver. Closest thing to that was gray, which was Jazz from the original 2007 movie. So I was just a big fan of the movies and the characters. And I just wanted to do kind of a different take. Maybe not do Optimus Prime or Bumblebee like a lot of other people would initially consider.
So speaking of the Bumblebee Camaro, I dated this girl for a while and She had gotten a divorce, and out of her divorce, she got the Bumblebee Camaro that he had bought. And really? He did a lot of stuff to it. Like, it was insanely powerful. Now, I remember she let me drive it one time, and I was going around this long curve, and I was probably going like 35, maybe 40, and I went to go just press on the gas, not like aggressively, but just like, just accelerate like we might in our cross track to see, you know, that doesn't go anywhere. And yeah. I go to push on the gas just kind of firmly, and the back tires just started spinning, and we weren't going anywhere. And I was like, oh my gosh, this thing has like so much power. It's not even going anywhere. It's just spinning the tires. I had to let off and then press really slowly to accelerate.
Wow. That's actually really impressive. So you said you're already going like 30, 40 miles an hour, you said?
Yeah. And I went to go press on the gas, and it just started spinning the tires.
Ran into a burnout. Awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe the tires are bald. No.
Sounds fun, though.
Oh, yeah, it was. But it was scary, too.
I'm sure. I bet. I mean, I would feel the same way at first, but I feel like I'd get used to that pretty quick and start, you know, I'd be quick to take advantage of that and start having fun with it and rear wheel drive car for the first time. So that's a couple years in the future. I'm planning to get one of those myself. We'll be adding that to the account and a little joint account on Instagram with pictures of both cars, of course. So that's always been my plan. I want to do confirm now that I'm not planning to trade in the Crosstrek, no matter how much it drives me nuts sometimes. I do love the car, and I'm planning to keep that and eventually invest in a secondary vehicle.
Good. So where did the fascination with Transformers come from?
That's a good question. Ever since I was a kid, I guess I'd have to attribute it to having 80s parents growing up. So being introduced to a lot of that stuff at a young age, everything from He-Man, Transformers, Thundercats, you name it. Typically a kid my age probably wouldn't have been interested in that stuff. But like I said, having parents from the 80s definitely helped. I was, sitting in front of the TV as a kid watching Transformers and just staring, being in awe and watching the movies and the show over and over again on repeat. And then, of course, you know, the toys, playing with those as a kid. And I think that's what probably initially got me into cars as well, was watching the movies and playing with the robots in vehicle mode and starting to learn, okay, this is a Camaro. Okay, this is a GMC. Okay, this is a semi truck. So starting to learn things like that, and got me into cars, got me into, pop culture things, of course, like Transformers, big blockbuster movies. I think Transformers is also a big inspiration for where my life or career path interest comes from, which we can talk about a little later, but I'm a big movie guy myself. It happens to be something that I study in college as well. So that's really where that comes from, is sitting in front of the TV screen as a kid, watching the cartoons and just being like, I want to live in that world because it seems awesome.
Yeah.
So I brought that world to me.
So you mentioned Thundercats. I want to see a live action Thundercats so bad. That would be so cool.
I've been saying that for years.
They've done it with so many other things. And I think they could, at this point, do a good job with it.
Who knows? Maybe by the time I graduate and get the ball rolling, maybe I'll take up the director's helm and make sure to give you a lead.
All right. Yeah, there you go. That'd be awesome.
So that or He-Man. They need some modern remakes, I think.
Yeah, I agree. So speaking of Transformers and your Crosstrek, I saw that you have like the Transformer logo on your car, like on the back of the seats and in your taillights. So where all do you have the like something that says Transformer like that?
Yeah. Good observation. I do have a lot of Autobot symbols all over the car, just in case people weren't sure what type of car it is in terms of Transformers, whether it's Autobot or Decepticon. Had to let the folks know. So I counted it up because I wanted to actually see. There's 11 different Autobot logos on the car, and they're all kind of on different places, interior, exterior. Some are custom made. Like you said, the taillight tints, those are made by Nick, South Coast Crosstrek.
Yeah, those look good.
His Impulse Designs business. So he did a really good job making those for me. Probably one of my favorite details on the car, so I always make sure to post some cool photos of that. And there's some more, like you said, the doors, the seats. I have little projectors when you open the door, and it'll shine the logo on the ground.
I saw that.
I like those. And Nick also made me a steering wheel emblem. So it covers the Subaru logo on the steering wheel, and it's got black and red with the Autobot symbol, of course. And However, the place where it actually says Transformers on my car is my rear license plate. Everybody kind of, you know, knows my license plates around here, especially in town. It's very, very noticeable. And then, of course, probably in the community, people recognize my license plate a lot because I don't hide it on Instagram. I keep it public because I think it's part of the car, and I'm proud to show it off that I got that plate. I've actually met somebody from New Hampshire who said they were trying to get that plate and were wondering who else had it. And then it's when they saw my car and were like, okay, well, your car's pretty cool, so you can keep it.
Yeah.
But
nice.
Yeah. So my plate says Roll Out, the New Hampshire license plate. And then I have a custom made carbon fiber frame around it that says Transform And at the top. And then it says Roll Out for the plate, and then underneath Autobots. So it's Transform and Roll Out Autobots.
Oh, I like that. That's really cool. Yeah, that's a nice little touch.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So your Crosstrek, as you mentioned before we started recording and when we were just messaging before we actually, you know, we were trying to set up a time, you said your Crosstrek is down right now. So what happened and why is it out of commission?
Yeah, so like my friend put it recently, I have the curse of the CVT transmission. So, you know, 2013 Crosstrek was one of the first models that came out. So whatever issues it had were, of course, going to be fixed later on. So over the last couple of years, I've had some transmission issues. The car has a deceleration issue. The RPMs will sit really high and not drop unless I pull my foot off the gas. And then, of course, it's right now, the problem that it has, it's not really shifting properly. So we're looking at a new valve body for the car and all new fluids and everything. And hopefully that'll get everything shifting properly again. And other than that, it's just a bunch of maintenance type stuff that accumulated at the same time. So it's going to cost me an arm and a leg, but I love the car too much to get rid of it. So I'd rather tough it out.
Yeah. Are you able to do any of this work yourself?
I'm not really mechanically inclined. I do a lot of the cosmetic stuff on my car. I find that more, obviously it's a lot easier, but I don't have all the tools. And like I had mentioned before, like I'm kind of cramped for space. I live in a condo complex, so it's a little tight. There's rules about working on your car and doing oil changes and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd have to find like a garage or a friend's house to do that type of stuff at. But for the most part, I have some connections locally and pretty much have people everywhere a car driver would need for a resource.
That's good.
But I don't really do the mechanical work myself. Mostly just the like cosmetic modifications and things like that. So yeah, it's gonna cost me a bit, but I'm willing to put the money into the car because it means more to me than money. So yeah,
I think that's the case with a lot of people. You know, you have something that happens, and it's like, well, I'm not just gonna get rid of this car after all the time I've put into it. Not just things that you've put into the car itself, but just the time that you've had in the car taking you places and the joy that it brings you. It's like, you know, it means too much to you to just be like, oh, well, I'll just get another car. Because I mean, with some cars, I'm sure it's, you know, if it's getting old and you're having issues and you've had it for a few years, you're like, I just don't want to spend any more money on this car. You know, I want to get another one. But like with these, it's a lot different.
They're definitely an investment. I've gone back and forth between, all right, have I put enough money into it? Is it time? Do I want to trade it? No. And I always land at no, because I start to think about sort of the intangible values of the car, like how much passion I've had and, you know, how much time, effort, blood, sweat, tears I've put into the car, and just like the adventures that I've been on and the people I've met through owning this car. It's like, I feel like I would get rid of all of that by trading in the car. But of course, you know, if I were to trade it in, if I had to, you know, by chance something bad happened, I really had to trade in the car, I would probably just, you know, go for an upgraded Subaru as well. But, at this point, I'm just looking to finish the build and come back through this, you know, we're in a rough patch and it happens with the CVT transmissions, not too reliable. As some of the listeners may know, I know a lot of us have had our difficulties with them, but you know, we, as people who modify our cars and do what we do with them on trails and stuff like that, there's going to be some rough patches and some repairs, and that just comes naturally. So if you're willing to tough it out and put the effort in and really work hard, save up and pay for the repairs, if you can't do it yourself, then you know, that's your car and you get to make that ultimate decision. And that's where I kind of landed at. Yeah. So I'm looking to keep it. Just come out on the other side stronger.
Yeah. So you said you wanted to continue the build, but where did your build start? Because you said that you started looking at other cross treks on Instagram, seeing what people were doing with it. So what was the first thing that you did?
Yeah. So a lot of the original stuff I had seen were like kind of rally inspired cross treks. So I was like, oh, mud flaps on a Subaru. Like that's like the first thing everybody does. I got to do the same thing. That will look really cool. It'll kind of have that rally heritage and it'll be a little bit more noticeable with bright red mud flaps, you know? So that's where I went with that. The next thing I started to see was, okay, people are like seriously off-roading in these things. Like this guy is driving over rocks. This person's driving through a mud puddle. They're driving in the forest. I want to do stuff like that. That looks really satisfying and fun. And so I was like, okay, I can't do it the way the car is now. They have lift kits. And so that's where I found out about lift kits. And I got a spacer lift in the car, which was a ready lift. It was pretty cheap. Unbeknownst to me, that was going to cause a lot of damage at the time because spacer lifts aren't the ones that are necessarily healthy for your car. They boost you up a little bit higher so you have the clearance. But the way that everything functions, once you have that in, it's definitely stressing your axles, yeah, your control arms, your transmission as well. So I think that initially put a lot of stress on the transmission. And I was breaking axles here and there, especially while off-roading. But yeah, at that point, I had to take the lift kit out. So the build kind of regressed a little bit. And I've been stock ride height ever since. I do have a little bit larger than stock tires. So get a little boost from that. But other than that, I did the bumper chop on the front so that I have some more clearance in the front of the tires. And after that, just some lights and some cosmetic modifications and stuff to look cool, stuff that functions. Everyone asked me, why do you have a little ladder on the back of your car? And I have to explain to them, you know, I have to try and justify that aside from it just looking cool. But now I actually have stuff mounted to the roof that I can use the ladder to get up to, and I kayak. So I can throw my kayak up on there. I'm 21 years old, but believe it or not, I've had back problems. So I've pulled my back out. I've gotten injured a couple of times related to my back. So it's hard for me to kind of lift the kayak up on the car. So I've, you know, put it up there best I can and then get up there, tie it down, everything like that. So the ladder does come in handy. It's been a pain in the butt. It wore out my trunk struts, so now I got to fix those. The trunk tends to close on my head pretty often, but something to overlook when you know the rest of the car is just, you know, a representation of my personality. And so I think you know, that always reminds me of the hard time I went through with my injuries of my back, and the ladder's there to kind of remind me that I survived that. I can survive more. So.
Oh yeah, of course. So do you have any skid plates?
This is gonna sound really bad. I don't yet. I've been off-roading quite a few times. I don't want to say I haven't needed them yet, because there's definitely been points where I've needed them or really should have had them, but I just haven't got the chance to do them yet. Like I said, I'm 21 years old, so I'm a college student, about to be done with college. Life's a little tough. Money's tight these days. So when I'm not repairing the car, I'm trying to catch up on some modifications, but it's been a slow build, but I'm hoping to, and I plan to finish it. I will finish it. It's just taking a lot longer than I was anticipating, but skid plates are definitely on the list for the near future. I think they're very important, but I haven't got around to doing them yet. Just been scratching up the plastics underneath.
Yeah. They are definitely important. I mean, they can save your car, you know, in a bad situation. Even if it looks like everything might be okay, you never know what could potentially happen. So that would be a good mod for the future. But so what are some of the places that you like to go off-road, especially when did you first discover it and then first actually go off-road, and what was that experience like?
That's a great question. The first times I had seen it were, of course, on Instagram, you know, people posting videos of their cars driving on these dirt roads, but they weren't roads. They were like paths and kind of trails. They were rocky and muddy, and it just looked really fun. And I was interested to see if my car could do the same thing. You know, they have the same car as me. Maybe I could learn this skill somehow. And so I started following as many of them as I could find and messaging them, hey, how did you build your car? Like, where did you find this? Are you part of a group? Like, how does this work? And so initially I just started messaging a lot of people early on, trying to get as much information as I can and see how I can apply that to my own car. So initially it was just about making friends and making connections. And then I started finding out about some local groups. I know you've talked with Joe, XV Adventure, and his group Hops and Cars. So yeah. I've operated with them. Probably the place I've been to the most is Thompson, Connecticut. The trails out there are pretty technical for a Subaru, I would say. Jeeps, you know, be fine. But the Subaru, you can get out there in some really technical spots. The first time, and this was, I think it was a little over a year ago, but the first time I had been there, I was definitely a little bit more cocky, and I thought I could, I thought I was kind of invincible. I had the lift back then, so I felt a little bit more invincible than I do today. I think at that point, it was a little bit more immature as well. Like, you know, now that I have my car, quickly taking advantage of it, thinking I can do anything, but then quickly learning the limits of the car. You know, that's an important part of it as well. So there's these hill climbs in the Thompson, Connecticut trails, and it's like, I think they call it the playground. So there's this, there's all these kind of shorter and taller hills. And I wanted to get my car up the tall hill. And I think there was a Jeep that had gone up it before me, but no one else was really attempting it. And I don't know what.
Probably for good reason. Huh? Me.
Yeah. Yeah. And thinking back on it, it's a funny story, but I was pretty, I shouldn't have done it is what I'm getting at. But I did it anyways, because like I said, I was, you know, less responsible. So I decided to send it up this hill. I think it was probably the sixth try of, you know, trying to make it up and not just backing down and coming back. I really sent it hard and gave it the beans, as they say. And I made it up to the top of the hill, smacked the side rail of the car, like underneath the doors. So I got up there, and it was a little nerve wracking. It was, you know, the angle was pretty steep, but I was just excited that I did it. You know, people on the ground below were cheering, and they thought that was cool. And it was cool until maybe 5 minutes later when I'm just doing a small sand hill, and I drove over the ditch. And I feel the wheel spinning, but there's this weird noise and I'm not going anywhere. And my wheels had dropped down into the ditch, and I figured I would have had enough traction to get out. But the CV axle had snapped. So it gave loose from, I think it was the wheel side. So it hadn't damaged on the transmission side. And so the CV axle was done, and I wasn't getting any power out of it. So I had to get towed out the last couple minutes of the trail by a Tacoma. They, thankfully, everyone was there. Super, super nice people, by the way. Great group.
That's good.
Everyone was fantastic. And, you know, that these type of groups, they're not there to like make fun of you or, you know, point fingers like, hey, you made a mistake, laugh at you. None of that. They were immediately like getting their recovery gear out, you know, obviously recording, because, you got to film it if something like that happens, yeah. Of course. Got to have a video for Instagram. But no, everyone was incredibly helpful, super knowledgeable, and not only just, you know, getting me out of that situation, but teaching me, here's how to avoid that in the future. Number one, don't do what you just did.
Yeah, good learning lesson.
Yeah, you know, climbing the hill up and down a couple of times, I think it was like 5 or 6 times until I got to the top, was probably what stressed out that axle, you know, spinning the tires, trying to get up. And then once I tried just another simple obstacle after that, it finally gave out. So I learned my lesson. You know, they were encouraging me to say, hey, you know, maybe you could try this with the car. Maybe you could do this to take less stress off the front end. And people were just super helpful, towed me off to the end of the trail. And we all kind of hung out there for a bit. And people started, you know, going their own separate way one by one. But there was this, I felt really welcome, because there was this point where some people didn't quite leave yet. And I almost felt like they wanted to stick around and hang out with me and just make sure I was all right. Cause I was definitely the kid of the group. I was probably the youngest one there, you know, a couple states away from home. And nervous. It was the first time I had, you know, really broken anything on a trail. And, you know, I was calling my mom. I was like, what do we do? I know we have AAA. Hopefully I can get a tow truck and make it home. I'm in the middle of nowhere. That side of the trail we had ended in, I think it's Pescoig, Rhode Island. So it's it goes from Connecticut into Rhode Island. And I was like, I got to find a tow truck to get me from Rhode Island back to southern New Hampshire.
How far was that?
It was a little over 100 miles. And okay. my AAA covers 100 miles. But I called and I confirmed to everyone, yeah, I have a tow truck coming. You guys don't have to stick around. Feel free to go. I'll be all right. You know, thank you guys for help. And so people kind of filtered out. And, you know, I appreciate them sticking around to make sure I was all right for a bit. But the original tow truck that was going to come was coming in 2 hours. So they had really nobody around that was going to be able to help me. And so I posted a video of, I think it was just my car on the side of the trail, just kind of broken. I'm like, well, we're just chilling here for a couple hours in Bigfoot territory, whatever.
Yeah.
Hopefully I don't get abducted by a UFO or something like that. But, and then Sage the Cross Trek, John, he responds to my story and he says, hey, you know, let me help you. Like I work for the company and I'll get you a tow truck. And so he was able to work some of his magic on the other side. And he switched around my tows for me. And instead of the 2 hour tow truck, I now had a tow truck coming in 15 minutes because it was a third party driver.
Oh, that's awesome. Way to go,
and
John.
So I was on the phone with him trying to figure this out, and he really saved my butt that day. So I owe him a lot for that. And I always appreciate that and tell him how much of a funny story that is, but you know, thankful for his help. So I ended up getting a tow truck about 15 minutes later. They show up to get my car on the bed, and we start our journey on the way home back to New Hampshire. And this guy, the tow truck driver, was like, he was a character. Let me tell you, his name was, he didn't call himself Steve. He referred to himself as Tow Truck Steve. And someday, I'm sure he'll never hear this, but someday I got to go back and repay this guy a visit because he was the funniest guy I've ever met. And we just had such a funny conversation the whole way home. Just talking about random stuff, talking about life. I don't know if I could say this on your podcast or not, but he invited me back to the Rhode Island Strip Club anytime. I'm welcome to come join him.
Oh, that's funny.
He said he goes there quite often and he's like, I'll get you in. We'll have some fun. You come back in Rhode Island, see me anytime. I'm like, that's great. That's great. Can we go home?
Yeah. I just want to go home. Tow Truck Steve.
I get yelled at. we had a really funny conversation. So I guess if I ever find myself in that area again, I'll have to look him up and thank him for his help. And, you know, I'm 21 now, so maybe that second part we'll see. Nah, yeah. I'm just kidding.
But, that's funny.
Yeah, so that was quite the drive home with him. And he was this crazy, crazy, crazy tow truck driver who was like, he couldn't figure out. He was a brand new tow truck driver, so didn't know how to load a car onto the bed.
Oh,
so he had to have someone else come out and help.
That's funny.
And then he had no idea how to work like his directions, like navigation on his iPad or whatever. So I had to help him set that up. He would be like texting his stripper friends while we're driving home. And we were crossing through Boston at that point. He was like swerving lanes. And I was like, this is one crazy night. And then he looks over and asks, hey, when we get back to New Hampshire, where you live, you know, any good places I can get beer? And so we had to make a pit stop so he could like pay his boss in beer or something like that. And
wow.
He originally told me he was stopping in to get like a case or something like that. So I'm waiting in the truck and he comes out with a grocery cart full of beer.
Oh my
gosh. Eight cases of beer. And
wow.
I'm like, dude, this is a 2-seat pickup truck or a tow truck. I'm like, where are we putting this? And he's like, well, you're going to have to hold some. Is that all right? I'm like, dude,
we'll like, put some in your hatch.
Like, yeah. Yeah. At this point it was probably like, I don't even know. It was getting late, but, He put a bunch of them on the seat console and then some of them down by our feet and had to hold some of them. But I was like, that's an excessive amount of alcohol to pay your boss with or whatever. Or that maybe that was his payment for doing the job. I don't really know. But
that
was
funny.
One heck of a trip with Tow Truck Steve.
Yeah.
But again, like I have to thank John for hooking that up for me because I got home safe that night with his help. And I always appreciated that since.
Were you worried at some point that you might not get home safe with Tow Truck Steve?
Yeah. Well, I mean, his driving made me a little nervous. He would be, like I said, on his phone or iPad trying to set up music and showing me rap songs and things like that he likes from like early 2000s. I'm like, dude, this is like from when I was a kid. Like, I know this song. You don't have to show me.
Yeah.
But he's a character, but his driving made me a little nervous.
Yeah, that's good.
At that point, I just wanted to get home so I didn't have to sleep in my car, you know, in Timbuktu, Rhode Island.
Yeah, yeah. So how often do you get out to trails?
I used to go locally in my towns, probably like once a week. So I was going quite a bit, and then I would go on these kind of extended trips to Connecticut or Freetown, Fall River, Massachusetts, some spots in Vermont, some spots in, you know, northern New Hampshire. So those longer trips would be kind of every couple months if there's a group activity coming up. I don't necessarily go out solo anymore, only locally, just because of the reasons like needing to be towed home.
Yeah.
Or, you know, having people with you in case of emergency or breakdown or something like that, trail maintenance, whatever. So when I go on those kind of farther trips, like Connecticut or Massachusetts, I'll make sure I'm going in a group. So those are only every couple months, I would say. But, you know, now that we can talk about Adventure One a little bit, maybe later on, but that's a group that I'm a part of, and we are working on some new events for that. So hopefully there'll be some more trail runs coming up soon, and hopefully my car is up for it.
So, yeah. The ones that you said that you would go on, you know, maybe once a week that are local to you, how close are the, like, is the nearest trail to you?
Probably like 10 minutes. Yeah, it's not bad. It's just right on the other side of my town. So in New Hampshire, we have what are called Class 6 roads. So they're kind of like unmaintained roads that used to be roads, but now they're more so like trails where people will take their four-wheelers, ATVs, you know, their Ford F-150s and go bang them up out there. And then they'll see this, you know, college kid in a cross trek just floating by.
Yeah.
But there's some technical ones in southern New Hampshire, the Class 6 roads. They get pretty hairy, but they're a lot of fun. I haven't been out there in a little bit, but I think once the car is kind of back in a good place, I'm probably going to check those out again soon, because there's a lot of cool scenic spots that I found out there too. So I kind of miss just checking those out.
What's been your favorite spot that you've been to so far?
See, that's a hard choice. I would have to say probably most recently actually was my trip to Maine, my camping trip. And we went out to the trails on Bethel, Maine. They're the trails that they used for New England Forest Rally.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah. And I had been there like the year before to see the rally. So I got to see, you know, Travis Pastrana drifting on the trails and all that. And Ken Block as well before he passed. So I got to see a lot of the cool rally drivers and meet them and get autographs. So I got a lot of cool footage that day. But I remembered that spot. And when we were at our campground in Maine, we were way out there too in the wilderness of Maine. I think it was like Rangeley or something like that. So way out there. But I ended up checking and seeing that the Bethel Maine trails, the New England Forest Rally ones, weren't too far. And we could just drive down and go explore those, because they do spread out into some like kind of offshoots and things like that that I never got to check out besides the main Forest Rally stages. So we got to take our students out there and go exploring, and we found some mud and we got a little excited and took the corners fast for some videos and tried to get the car sideways. So it was a blast.
Yeah that that's my like favorite fun. Spot. Yeah. That's what I was wondering. Like, were you driving it like you were in a rally?
Oh, 100%. I felt like Travis. I mean, I showed them the video clips from the Forest Rally with Travis, and I was like, this is where he like drifted right here. Like, this is the spot. So like, we got to get videos of us doing it right here too, so that we can kind of emulate him. And it was just cool to kind of experience what they experienced. Obviously at much lower speeds because I'm not driving a highly modified, WRX or anything like that. We were able to get the cars, you know, spinning and get them a little sideways. So it was a good time. And it's cool to feel the rally side of things when you're on a little bit flatter dirt roads, and you can kind of get your tires spinning and stuff like that. But a little different from the mud and the rocks that I was used to. But there actually are decent spots, decent offshoots in those trails where you can find, you know, the muddy, rocky sections. But primarily, it's a lot of the flatter dirt roads that were used for the rallies.
Yeah. Now, do you have like a bucket list spot that you would love to get out to?
Yes, I do. I've been telling people this for a while. I'd mentioned before we started recording, I'm big on paranormal. Everything you can think of in the paranormal. So one of the spots I want to get out to, hopefully after graduation this summer, is Area 51 in Nevada.
Yeah.
And so I want to take a trip down there in the cross trek, maybe bring some of my friends with me, whoever wants to come. But I want to go find some trails out there and go off-roading. And my goal is to camp out outside Area 51 and just, I don't know, go stargazing, drive on the trails, on the dirt roads, and just hang out, camp at Area 51, and just have a good time. The plan is that we'd stop at Las Vegas as well to kind of celebrate our graduation and stuff. So
yeah, that'd be fun.
That's going to be part of it. Yeah, yeah. So I think that would be my bucket list location, was to get out there and just kind of experience what the desert is like, you know?
Well, if you go out there, just make sure that you don't say Nevada, because people will give you a hard time for not saying Nevada.
Oh, Nevada. Oh.
Yeah, because I got crap whenever I was out there in Nevada for saying Nevada.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for the heads up. I will remember that.
You're welcome. I'm pretty sure it was Sierra SLT Trek that gave me a hard time. So anytime I say it now, I always say Nevada, so she won't yell
at me.
All
right, I'll have to remember that.
Who are some of the people that you get out with most? You said you don't really go solo anymore. So if you're getting out with other people, is there like a group of people that you're, or a few people that you're usually getting out with?
Yeah. So besides, you know, like I mentioned, the Adventure One crew, I can list off a couple of those in a second. But initially I had been off-roading with Joe's Hops and Cars group. So that XV Adventure, if you know him on Instagram, as well as John, Stage the Cross Trek, and the Adventure One crew, people like Nick. And I used to go trailing with Subinova and Squid Treks before she got her Tacoma. So Alex and Sydney, of course. And the Adventure One crew, really great people. Nick had reached out to ask me about forming a new group in New England. And I was super pumped about that. I was like, you want like me to like help start this new group?
Wow, nice.
I was kind of flattered. And, you know, I immediately took up the chance and was super excited to get that off the ground and get some events going and get some cool people together. And honestly, the experience has been pretty fantastic so far. You know, people, we've got a lot of new people have joined, and we've got some, admins, the admin group has expanded. So there's a lot more of us now. And I think, you know, things usually kind of quiet down in the winter. In a lot of groups, there's a bit of a dull, but once the kind of holidays are over and people are ready to start having some fun again, I think people will be looking forward to some more upcoming events. I'll shameless plug one of our upcoming ones towards the end.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah. And then, so what would you say, you mentioned earlier when we first started that your mom bought the Crosstrek because she felt that it met Matt. Oh my gosh, I can't talk. Your mom bought the Crosstrek because she felt that it matched your personality. So what about your Crosstrek best matches your personality to you?
She hadn't necessarily bought the car for me. She picked out the car and handed me the key.
To be fair, yeah, she picked it out for me.
She's like, here's your graduation present that you're going to be paying for. So it's more so like that. But I think when she found that car, I think she kind of saw me in it a little bit. I guess that some of the things that match my personality would be my rebellious side. I'm not exactly the, I'm not the easy kid by any means. I'm the more rebellious one in the family. So I think she saw that, and maybe the fact that I was getting into hiking and kind of outdoorsy stuff, and maybe wanted to have a car that was as outgoing as I was and start trying to take it on some adventures and road trips and things. I hadn't really been anywhere growing up. So I think once I got my car, it was kind of like just unlocked a new sense of freedom for me. So she saw that I wanted a car that was going to, you know, take me places and go explore some new things and new places and meet new people. So I think she probably saw that in the car, and as well as the reasonable things like good gas mileage, safety, things like that. So I think that's probably what she saw in the car. And, you know, I would say certain features of that match me. You know, everybody has their rough patches and their bad days, and so does my car. And I think that's why, you know, I keep it around, is because it's like part of me at this point, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So you said that you hadn't really gone anywhere growing up, and not really including going anywhere with Jazz, but have you been out of the New England area before?
Not particularly, no. So I've been pretty cooped up, to be honest. That's why after graduation in May, I'm planning some bigger road trips, you know, all depending on my car being fixed, of course, which I'm hoping and praying it will be. But I haven't been on a plane yet. So my first plane ride is coming up in June. Me and my friends are taking a celebratory Disney trip.
Nice.
So that's going to be pretty fun. And other than that, my biggest road trip was down to Pennsylvania. They were doing a Transformers fan event down there.
Oh, that's cool.
So, and kind of another group that I would say I'm part of is the Nest group, which is like a Transformers kind of alliance of vehicles all across, really all across the world. But of course, you know, this was focused on the East Coast. So we had an Optimus Prime replica truck, exact movie replica, and then the actual Megatron truck that was used to film, I believe it was Transformers 2. So they had the movie truck there. And then all these people who have Transformers themed cars, and we were all kind of had this group chat, and we were meeting up down there. And so it was in Allentown, Pennsylvania, at the Mack Truck
there.
Museum. Really?
I've actually been to Allentown, yes.
Yeah, so they have the Mack Truck Museum in there, and that's where they were displaying, you know, the Optimus Prime replica and the Megatron movie truck. And it was kind of like a face-off kind of thing where they parked them facing each other, and you could go in and, you know, meet Optimus Prime and get photos and everything like that. And I met up with a bunch of people I had been talking to on Instagram for a long time, and it was really good to just put some faces to some names and have some cool conversations about Transformers and just be in a group of hundreds and hundreds of people who are all like Transformers fans. I was like, wow, I found my people again.
Yeah.
You know, I found people like, you know, like-minded people in the Subaru community who are, you know, adventure oriented and kind of like exploring and things like that. And I had this kind of inner fascination with escaping because, like I said, I hadn't really been anywhere. So I kind of wanted to start seeing the world a little bit more. And I found the Subaru community, and then I found the Transformers community kind of around the same time. And so just getting down to Allentown, Pennsylvania, this was actually the weekend of Wicked Big Meet. So I went down to PA, slept under a bridge in my car.
Overnight.
I found this kind of, I needed to find a parking space that was kind of subtle. So I found this little dog park, and it was kind of like right next to the underside of a bridge. And so there was a lot of like traffic noise overnight. But it was, I was in a really subtle place where no one was going to bother me, and it was kind of woodsy. So it wasn't too bad. I was right down the street from the Mack Center for the morning where they were going to be hosting the Transformers event. So after the event, we went to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where they shot part of the Transformers movie. Yeah. So I don't know if you've seen the steel stacks that they have there.
No.
No? So that's a filming location from the Transformers movie. And they actually like use CGI and, you know, and plot context to make it look like Shanghai, China. But really it was filmed in PA, which a lot of people don't know. So we got some car pictures in front of there, and it was just kind of cool to be like, this is where they shot Transformers, like the movie, one of the movies I grew up watching as a kid. Now I'm like here in the middle of it. So kind of a cool feeling to be there and have my car, you know, get some photos of it. And then that night, as soon as I was done there, I packed up and headed straight to coming back toward home, toward Connecticut for Wicked Big Meet, so that I could go camping with some of the folks there that we were going to be promoting Adventure One at the event as a vendor booth for the first time, which was kind of a big deal for
us.
Yeah, so we had our own vendor booth, and we were showing off some of our, you know, our merch, and just kind of, that wasn't really what it was about. What it was about was trying to recruit people and trying to spread some awareness about the group, because we were pretty brand new. So we met so many people that day, and just people were like, I'm signing up as soon as I get home. Like, this sounds awesome. And it really warmed my heart just getting to have conversations with people who I only knew as an Instagram page online, and like getting to see the people behind the account was just super cool.
Yeah.
And really,
that's
really just
fun.
Amazing, amazing, humbling experience. And yeah, that was probably my best weekend for a road trip besides Maine. I would say those two are my top two, and then the trip with John up to Maine, and Chris, Hilda Impreza, and Sinpai STI Corey. So good group of guys. We had a blast up there on the rally trails and camping out in the middle of nowhere Maine. Saw a big moose too. So that was probably
nice.
A highlight of our trip. I'd never seen one before. Never seen a wild moose before, but it was running down the trail in front of us, and we all pulled in front of each other so we could each get a video. And yeah, we were pretty in awe of that. So both those trips were really really special for me, and a lot of fond memories when I look back on those.
Yeah, I mean, you've done some really nice things and some fun things, you know, for not having been too many places. Sounds like you have a lot of stuff there that's really enjoyable, or you can get out and enjoy nature and just have fun with other Subaru enthusiasts and enjoy your car and just, you know, get out. And, you know, when you get a chance, you can go other places too.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, New England has a huge population of obviously, you know, Subaru vehicles, but their drivers forming groups and things like that. So if you're in New England, you know, there's all I will tell you is there's groups, there's people like you who are, you know, into the same stuff. And if you find your group and you find your people, just look around until you can find them and make connections and network. And, you know, you get involved and start participating in some events and get to check out new places. So yeah. It's always a blast.
Yep. So going back to your Crosstrek, if you could describe it in one word, what would it be?
Oh man. In one word? That is a really good question. Yeah, I would say, like, back on the topic of like rebellious, kind of like my personality, at least when I was, you know, a little bit younger, I would say it's rebellious because, you know, a lot of people diss the car, like, why did you get a Crosstrek? CVT, worst transmission, Subaru, you know, that's a dumb car. Like, get something cool, get a real off-roader, get a real 4x4.
Yeah.
Get a Jeep. Yeah, that one ticks me off all the time, and no hate to the Jeeps, but I do have a sticker on the back of my car.
I saw that.
Nice Jeep peasant. Joe made me that one. And, I think he still has his matching one on there. And, that one gets a lot of flack, but a lot of laughs as well. When Jeeps pull up behind me and I'll look in my rear view and I'll see them pointing at it and laughing.
That's funny.
The best instance was when I saw, somebody in a parking lot pull up behind me. I was getting ice cream and a Jeep pulls up, parks behind me, and a bunch of like high school kids get out. And they start pointing at my sticker and they walk up and they start taking pictures of it and panning to their friend's Jeep, like almost to like kind of rag on them a little bit. So
yeah,
I thought that was really amusing. But yeah, I would say my car's a little rebellious like me. Everybody says, you know, don't get a red car. Obviously, I drive a silver car, but I have a lot of red details and accents on my car. So that's kind of the color scheme I went with, was silver and red. So everyone says, don't get a red car or put anything red on your car because you're more, you know, apt to get pulled over or be noticed by police if you're speeding or whatever. Not that our cars are essentially,
yeah, I wasn't,
you know,
pulled,
the fastest vehicle.
I wasn't speeding. You didn't clock me for speeding. I'd drive a Crosstrek.
Yeah.
Come on.
I drive a car with red mud flaps. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I like red, kind of a bold color. And it's bold to, you know, take your Crosstrek on rocky, muddy trails. So I think that's kind of the word I would use, is rebellious or bold. Yeah.
Yeah. What are some other mods? I know we talked about skid plates, but what are some other mods that you are wanting to do in the future that you see?
Well, I think I've been stock ride height for long enough. So I think it's time to, you know, after I get the car fixed back up, I think it's time to look at a real suspension setup, one that's actually going to last and not cause extensive damage to my car again.
Yeah.
So I've been looking at a couple different ones. It'd be nice to have a sponsor, but those are hard to come by, you know. A lot of times they will expect you to have a certain following on Instagram. And I'm not quite as far along with that as other people are. And that doesn't bother me at all. You know, at the end of the day, it's just a number. But sponsors always help. But at the same time, you know, I've been building the car mostly just from my own funding. So I would say lift kit in the near future, like a real lift kit, not a spacer one that I had before, just because that caused a lot of problems for me, but like a strut setup and, you know, that type of thing. Other than that, maybe some new wheels. I've been looking at the Methods. The black ones are always a classic choice, so I think those would look good, the silver and black. So yeah, maybe wheels and a lift. I'd like to get back to that point.
Ryka wheels make some really nice ones.
Ryka, okay. Ryka, feel free to hit me up.
Yeah.
I have seen those. I saw their booth at Wicked Big Meat, and they were some really cool wheels. X-Trek Moose, Joe had those.
Yep, that's what I have.
And they look really good on there. So, and they also make lift kits too, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, well,
yeah.
I think they make spacers.
The spacer ones?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think
I'm sure they're much higher quality than the one I previously had. But the one I had before was like, when I had them taken out and I looked at them, they were like bent. So
they did not
hold up. And it could have been because I was, you know, sending it a little much back then, but
yeah.
At the same time, like the front end was sagging. The rear side of the lift was fine, and then the front end, it didn't even look lifted anymore. So it was kind of like this wonky Crosstrek that had, you know, like its nose to the ground.
Yeah.
So I had that taken out and cost me some tears and some repairs, but like I said, you know, you hit a rough patch, you come back up. So I'm not someone who quits easily or gives up. So I'm really looking to commit and finish the build and just kind of, you know, put myself on the same playing field as some of the other fully built out Subarus, because a lot of times the newer ones will be able to handle that stuff a little bit more easily. Even older ones, I feel like I'm right in the middle, like that sweet spot where the Crosstrek in 2013 is like super sensitive. So the newer models are kind of, especially the Wilderness, are more built for that type of stuff. And then you get to like 05s for like Foresters and you know, things like that, that are have much more simplistic suspension parts, and they're able to withstand, you know, higher lifts and without any significant damage. But for me, I was kind of in that sweet spot where, you know, the slightest thing, you know, they make that joke like, oh, I put a sticker on my Subaru without a tune, and now the transmission blew up. kind of like that, yeah. But not quite. But like I said, I've had CVT problems for a while, but we're going to get it sorted out, and I plan to finish my build and make it kind of as strong as some of the other ones that I see out there, because that's I'm constantly inspired by those, and I really just want to, you know, be able to do the same things.
Yeah. So with Adventure One, you said you wanted to do a little plug for a future event. What do y'all have coming up?
Yeah, sure. So Adventure One, we're not necessarily just about off-roading, or, you know, we're not quite the group that's focused on just trailing or mudding, getting our cars dirty and breaking parts off-road. It's not really, that's not what we're about. Like some Jeep groups might be more inclined to be about, but, you know, our group is open to anybody with an off-road rig. You can be a Jeep and, just disregard my sticker on the back. That's all you got to do. But, yeah, Jeeps, Tacomas, Broncos, you could put a Corolla with a lift in our group and you'll fit right in, you know, anything. We're open to anybody who wants to be adventurous and explore, and, you know, off-road's a part of it, of course, and hit the trails, but we're also, we like doing other sorts of stuff. So our next event coming up is our hike. We're going to be doing Mount Monadnock in the winter. So we're hoping for some snow in New Hampshire. I haven't checked whether Mount Monadnock has any right now, but it's a super popular mountain. I don't know what the statistic is in 2023, but the last time I checked, Monadnock is actually the second most hiked mountain in the world, aside from Mount Fuji.
Wow.
So they get the most traffic and travelers there every year, because it's a really accessible mountain. It's about 3,000 feet. So to most, that doesn't sound like much, but, you know, New England with popular with the 4Ks and things like that. So it's kind of like it's a manageable hike for anyone who's even just starting out. And that's kind of why we picked that one. So anybody who's interested, we're aiming for January, maybe early February, depending on when we get snow. So we're going to get our, you know, ice spikes on and hiking poles and head up to see what it looks like from the top in the winter. So we're going to focus on doing some more camping, hiking related stuff. Every once in a while, we're going to be hitting the trails as well. But it was important to us that we expand and, you know, into other things and activities, because maybe there's somebody in our group who isn't particularly interested in off-roading, but maybe they want to, you know, hike more with a group of people. And so that's why we have those other types of activities available. We're going to try and cycle through those, of course. But yeah, like I said, Adventure One's pretty much open to anybody. You know, you just gotta be willing to commute maybe sometimes if it's in different states. And we just welcome to all cool people who are, you know, like-minded and have that adventure ready mindset. Yeah. So the other nice thing that I did want to touch on is that we're not just kind of abusing trails out there and driving on them. One of our values is that we're going to be taking care of the trails with nature conservation. So we've already done trail cleanup days where, you know, the cars will go out on the trails, of course, but bring with the trash bags to pick up trash with them and, you know, try and clean up the trails, because a lot of them, you know, get trashed with beer cans and broken car parts and things like that. So it's important to us that we also take care of the trails that we drive on and make sure that we're, you know, being responsible out there and not just using the trails for fun and leaving trash behind. So that's one of the things I wanted to touch on. And, you know, if those sound like some values that you have, you know, and you're based in New England, or, I mean, we even have people who are, you know, a member, who are part of our group that are not necessarily from New England, but, you know, still like to be part of a group. And so that's why I extend the offer to anyone who's interested. And especially if you're in New England, definitely come out to some events, follow us on Instagram at Adventure One, and we'd love to have you. So that's what I kind of wanted to talk about for the group, a shameless plug there. And
yeah, that's about it. That's good. I mean, it's nice too, that it's open to anybody. And I think the key word for it is adventure, whether it's, you know, adventuring off-road or adventuring with hikes, adventuring with camping. So, I mean, adventure can cover a lot of different areas. So it seems like that could expand into other things as well in the future.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, primarily we are Subaru-based. Most of our members are probably Subaru drivers, but it is open to anybody, like I mentioned. So any vehicle, if you think you can off-road, great. We'll be there to help you and educate and have fun through it. So, yeah. So if you're interested and it sounds like something you'd be willing to do, definitely come meet up with us.
Yeah. So you've had your Crosstrek now for a while. And how would you say that owning your Crosstrek and being part of the community has changed your life?
Oh, that's the $1 million question. Yeah. I've had my Crosstrek 4 years, and it's safe to say, I think that the day I got my car, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. It really just opened up a lot of doors for me that I was completely, you know, didn't even know existed in terms of like my own interests and following like new activities and things like that. But also at the same time, like meeting new people. So I mentioned this before, I live at home while I'm in college. So I'm a commuter, very much lacking that kind of on-campus lifestyle. So it is hard to make friends at some points. And that definitely gets, it gets lonesome when you're a commuter and you just go to class and then you come home, or even if your classes are all online, which has happened. It's nice to have online communities, especially ones that you can meet up with in person here and there. So once you know, it became from just driving a Subaru to now I have all these opportunities and connections, like people that I can call and depend on in an emergency situation, like somebody that can help me on a trail. You know, tow me if I need.
Yeah,
you
reroute know, a tow truck.
To get some, yeah, like the Tacoma that, you know, got me unstuck and pulled me to the end of the trail, and then John for, you know, getting me a faster tow truck, and just people that I have access to that I wouldn't have before, and that I've made like, you know, genuine friendships with, and had some really really cool special moments and memories with. You know, if you told me a couple years ago I'd be camping in the middle of Maine, you know, off-roading and watching moose run by with a couple of people I met on Instagram, you know, that would have blew my mind in high school. But it's just kind of crazy to think about how it goes from being, you know, messaging an account where you don't really know the person to all of a sudden you have like a real friendship there. And there's something like tangible to it because you've met them in person. That's always personally been the part that's the most special for me, is like I get so excited when there's an event coming up, like just getting to see everyone again and check in and, you know, catch up on our conversations from last time and, you know, look at the cars and talk about cars and things like that, of course. But especially getting to meet new people is always really cool for me, because, you know, the college commuter life is a little tough sometimes. So getting to go on Instagram and talk to new people and then eventually meet them in person is just a really cool kind of eye-opening experience that I never would have expected when I first got my car. So that's really how the Crosstrek has changed my life, you know, completely opened up a whole side of my life I didn't know existed or that I was particularly interested in. So sure, did it cost me to start building and yeah, repairing and all that stuff? Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's not about it's I don't consider the worth in terms of money. I consider the worth in terms of like friendships and, you know, thrills and adventure and exploring and, you know, literally getting to know my car better because I've learned its limits and things like that and starting to see the personality shine through. So, yeah, the car is a part of me and it's really opened up a lot of opportunities for me. So, yeah. I love it.
You think you'll always own a Subaru?
I'm saying this now, but I think I'm always going to own my Subaru because I'm so like stubbornly committed to it. Like almost like a marriage, right? Like, well, I don't want to get divorced.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. No, that's good.
So I think I'm gonna try and own mine as long as I possibly can. You know, eventually I'm sure it'll need new transmission, and that's a big cost. But you know, I'm willing to do it. It's just you just gotta work and save up and make sure in a good place to get that done. But no, like I said, I want to get a Camaro eventually, and maybe some other cars. I've been looking at Sambars, actually, Subaru Sambars. Yeah,
those are nice.
So I think that would be kind of a fun build to take up. A little right-hand drive, little JDM truck. But yeah, I think I'll always own a Subaru, and I'm hoping that that one means my car, if not, you know, multiple Subarus. But you know, it's a money pit, but it's my money pit, and I'm planning to stick with it for a while. So
yeah, that's good. Well, here's the part where we get to know you a little bit better, which you've already kind of revealed a lot of stuff, but who is Adam?
That's a good question. I don't really know because I'm still figuring it out myself.
Of course,
As a college student. But who is Adam? Well, like I said, you know, I'm 21. I'm about to graduate college. I'm studying film, film production and screenwriting and stuff like that. Like I mentioned, I'm a pretty big movie guy. So that's kind of where I want to see myself going in the future, is either writing scripts for movies or TV or directing, whatever it is. I know I want to be involved in the movie business or, you know, the production side of things. But I'm from Southern New Hampshire, so I get to be in a pretty good position to access Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, Maine, Rhode Island. I'm kind of right in that sweet spot where a lot of the trips that are planned in New England, I am not too far from. So that is a plus. Other than that, you know, it's I feel like people look at the car and they see me in it. So I feel like, you know, the car is also part of the question of who is Adam. Then, you know, my more adventurous side, other than just academic focused or work focused, is kind of this like nomad lifestyle, I guess you would say, of me having this wanderlust inside my head that makes me want to go travel and explore more.
So I know you're still young, obviously, but do you have a favorite memory from your earlier childhood?
Okay, so this was something I was thinking about earlier when I'm reading your questions. I was thinking about what's something that sticks out that might connect to the future of, or like my present, I guess. And then I thought about it and I was like, okay, this is where this comes from. I think the reason I enjoy, you know, off-roading and getting the car dirty and stuff like that today is just down to some basic memories of me as a kid playing in the dirt with cars or monster trucks, and just kind of like being a kid and just getting dirty and just playing in the dirt and mud and just taking, you know, Hot Wheels cars or whatever it is, and maybe even Transformers outside and just playing. I think that's where my secret hibernating passion for off-roading was all these years, until I could finally kind of afford to start doing it myself or have the freedom to start doing it myself. So that was definitely a memory that sticks out as a kid, was just kind of figuring out what my interests were and seeing where those originated from as a kid.
Yeah, no, that's good. So you said you mentioned earlier that you were working. So what are you doing for work right now?
Right now, pretty basic. I have a couple of jobs that interchange throughout the semester of the school year. So part-time, I just work at a grocery store, very basic customer service, answering phones, things like that. But other than that, I work for my school every other semester. So I will work in our equipment rental office, and I'll rent out, you know, camera equipment to students and things like that, and organizing, keeping track of all that. And then just for volunteering type work, I coach soccer in the fall. That's been definitely a really fun job to have. I grew up playing soccer. So I got, once I finally aged out of the program, I was kind of invited back as assistant coach.
Nice.
And then kind of worked my way up. So after a couple of years worth of coaching soccer, it was cool to be kind of like one of the main coaches and work on my kind of teaching. Like I hadn't necessarily worked with, you know, other kids before and like kind of teaching them a sport. So that was kind of new to me. But you know, after some practice and confidence in myself, it was cool to see that new side of me that I didn't really know existed, you know, kind of like the adventure stuff. Like it's like sometimes you'll start a new job or a new activity and it's like something you'd never imagine yourself doing before, but it's just a new door that opens up, and I like to see those doors through and see where it goes. So those are kind of my jobs that I interchange between and during college, you know. Those are the current setup, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
But looking at some other stuff in the future, more major oriented.
Yeah, and for your dream job, that's my second question. It sounds like that's what you're going to school for.
Yeah, so going to school for film and media production and screenwriting and the like. So I would honestly just love to find a job working for a company, either directing or writing scripts, and really anything entry level to start out with, and then work my way up and try and make some movies. I'm a big fan of movies, and someday I just really want to make my own. Got a lot of cool ideas. I'll have a random thought in the middle of the day and jot it down in the notes in my phone. And
that's really cool.
A lot of the scripts I've written actually come from dreams that I've had.
Wow, so
a lot of the scripts, some of the scripts that I wrote this year for school came from dreams that I had like a couple of years ago.
Nice.
And I'll write it down in my phone notes. I'm like, that's a cool idea. Like maybe I could turn that into something in the future. And then I'll expand upon it and kind of turn it into a new thing. So yeah, I love taking inspiration and creation from just other aspects of my life and seeing where that goes. And yeah, I don't really know where I'm going to end up in the next 5 years or so, but honestly, I'm in no rush, you know?
Yeah,
I'm just
see where the journey takes you.
See how things go. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we'll find out.
What is something that makes you want to get out of bed every day?
Oh, that I would have to circle back to like the wanderlust kind of thing. Like I said, growing up, I didn't really get to travel very much. So now that I kind of have the opportunities to, or the, you know, the funds to, I think the idea of getting to see the world and explore is what gets me out of bed every day. You probably have noticed the maps on the back of my wall here.
Yeah.
On my screen, but that's where I plan out all of my road trips and see how far it is from home and all that. It's just kind of a visualization of places I've been and places I'm looking to go visit. So I would say, that's what kind of keeps me motivated and keeps me going is let's bang out the schoolwork and, you know, get to the next step here, you know, finish my last semester off with a solid ending and move on and start looking for jobs while also traveling a little bit. So my goal is to start visiting some national parks and visit some new states that I haven't seen before right after graduation. So I'm looking to get the car as built out and, you know, fixed up as I can up to that point, and then really start just seeing more of the world and put some miles on the car, because you only live once, you know?
Yeah. If you want to talk about going to national parks, if you want any national park advice or tips or anything, Irk Sporing has been to over 30 of them. So I had her on
yeah.
a few episodes ago. So she might be somebody to get in contact with.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
30 parks. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'm definitely at the very beginning, you know, fledgling stages of that. So any advice would be welcome.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What is something that makes you want to stay in bed?
Car repairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that. Oh, no.
Like the rough patches, you know, they happen. So that's definitely something that is, you know, discouraging when you're having a bad day or a bad week. And sometimes you just don't want to go to work, or you don't want to get up and go to school just because, you know, like the outside things are affecting you, or, you know, making you feel kind of lousy. But it's, you know, hard. I've been through hard times in the past, and I think it's the idea that things will get better is what eventually will get me out of bed and just stay focused and just stay on the grind until, you know, the days get a little easier. So yeah, there's sometimes you just hit a rough patch in life, and that's just natural. It happens to everybody. So I think if you can kind of work your way out of it and just focus on what's important, which for me has been, you know, school and making sure I do a good job and don't get distracted by, you know, any outside influences that are negative. So just focus on, you know, doing a good job and graduate with as best grades I can and stuff like that. And just make sure I set myself up now for my future self to have some opportunities. So that's kind of what I tend to focus on and try and overlook the moments where I don't really want to get out of bed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What would be your best bit of advice to give someone about anything?
About anything? So I wrote a quote down, my favorite quote And like, obviously these are not my words, but these are kind of the words I like to live by. So the quote goes, all the best things in life happen on the other side of fear. So my advice to anyone would be to kind of just, if you're in a position where you're in a place of question or frustration or fear of the next step, I would just say kind of take the leap. Opportunities open themselves up all the time, and you just got to have the kind of courage to open those doors for yourself and just take a chance in life. And honestly, that's what kind of changes the trajectory of your life sometimes, and you wouldn't really expect it. So I would say try and push down the fear if you can, and just take the leap, because that's where the best things in life tend to come from. So
yeah, don't be afraid. Magic happens.
Just go for the stars.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to hop on and record, especially on a weekend.
Thank you.
You know, but at least your school semester is over now, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. No better way to be looking to spend my weekend. So this was a blast, and I really enjoyed talking with you. So
good.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was a pleasure to have you on and hear more about your cross trek and then some of the stories that were fun,
yeah.
Especially, Tow Truck Steve. That's going to stick in my head now, Tow Truck Steve.
That's right. Maybe we'll have to do a meetup someday, and I'll look him up. We'll find out. We'll see how that goes. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
But I also want to say thank you to everybody who listened to this, hearing me, you know, yap for like an hour and a half or whatever it is at this point. Appreciate that. And yeah, I look up to a lot of you. So keep doing what you're doing. And I appreciate you having me on the podcast. It's been great.
Yeah, you're welcome. I hope you have a good night, and enjoy the holidays.
You too. Thank you. Happy holidays.
All right, you too. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of the Sue B and You podcast. I'm curious to see how many people tuned into this on Christmas Day. The download numbers will tell, so I want to check that out by the end of the day. So, again, if you're not following him, go give Adam a follow. His Instagram handle is transformer.trek. And I hope you all enjoyed the episode. I'm going to make this outro quick because it's Christmas Day and I'm finishing this up on Christmas Eve. So I want to go enjoy the rest of my evening. But we're almost done with 2023. So I will do my little wrap up, I guess, on the next episode. But thank you all so much for tuning in for another year. And we've got many more episodes to go, many more stories. As you may have seen in my stories the other day, I think it was on Friday, I have a new toy. I have a Rode Wireless Pro, and I'm going to start using that more often. And I want to try to have some fun with it. So, again, thank you all so much. I hope you have wonderful holidays. And just enjoy it and relax and maybe get out on some trails and, have some fun with your Subaru. So talk to you all later. Have a good one. Much Subi love, Raph.
The Subi and You podcast is hosted by Raphael in a closet in Houston. Produced by Raphael in a room next to the closet in Houston. And edited by Raphael on a computer in the room next to the closet in Houston. With music by Luke Ruiz in another room in Houston. You can find the Sue B and You podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many more. To support the podcast, please head over to patreon.com/SueBandYouPodcast. Once you join, you will have access to the Discord channel and Discord chats with other patrons. If you'd like to get in contact with the show, you can find them on Instagram at Sue B and You Podcast, online at SueBandYouPodcast.com, or by email, SueBandYouPodcast@gmail.com. That's all for this week. Tune in Mondays for new episodes. Bye.